Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it has already been just being in this place tonight, and glad that we had this opportunity to assemble ourselves together. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we started a couple months ago in November, I believe it was, and started on teaching on why we do what we do as a church. And I think it's very important that we know why we do what we do as a church. Basically, why we do what we do is based upon what the Bible says to do. And we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And so we started out with that. And everything is based upon God's Word. The final authority in His church is His Word. That's the final authority. It's not the pastor. It's not the board of deacons. It's not even the congregation. If it's going to be His church, Christ has the preeminence. He has the head. He has the headship of the body. And because of that, He has the final authority. His Word represents Christ. He left His Word for us, completed it, and left it for us. And so the Bible is the final authority in His church. We studied on why we're independent and why we're fundamental and why we're Baptist. And that's important to understand. That's the church that you're in and why you're in an independent, fundamental Baptist church. And I trust that was a help to you. Studied on why preaching. Why preaching? How's come we have to preach every time we assemble ourselves together? That's my slang, how's come? Anyway, why do we have preaching every time we assemble? I think it's Bible. It's what the Word of God says to do. Why a public invitation when everyone else is starting to change that? I mean, churches today, they don't have the preaching like they used to. They don't have the invitations like they used to. The Bible's remained the same. If it was based upon the Bible to start with, then why change it? The Bible hadn't changed. And so we have public invitations to give people an opportunity to respond after allowing God to speak to them through the preaching of the Word of God. And so we have public invitations. Why bus ministry? Hopefully you was here on that Sunday night. We taught on that. It's very important. Why bus ministry? And then last Sunday night is why amen? Why do people say amen in the services? And why do some say it more than others? And on and on and on. And if you weren't here last Sunday night, get that message, because you need to understand the most biblical way to respond in a worship service established by God through the Word is an amen. And we taught on what that was and all the things about that. I trust it was a help to you. Well, tonight, and possibly the last message on why we do what we do, and that is one that many times is dreaded by even the congregation to hear messages preached on about separation and standards. Separation and standards. Why, when everything else is starting to just kind of just go with the flow, and why do we have to preach on separation? And why do we have to establish standards that are different from the world's set of standards? And sometimes we have young people ask that, and teenagers, and adults, and everyone else. But that is an issue there. That's something that is important to understand why, as a church, that we continue to preach on separation and establishing standards by which to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you'll stand with me, we're going to start reading in verse 11, read down to chapter 7, verse 1. The question tonight, does God have an expectation for the Christian lifestyle? If you believe it is, then what is it? What's it based on? Once again, it has to go back to the Bible and what God says about a lifestyle, especially a Christian-based lifestyle. If you look to the Old Testament, say, well, did He establish one for the Old Testament Israel? Read the law. Study the law. I think that you might surprise you what God expected out of His people in the Old Testament. New Testament. John the Baptist came, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the first thing that he preached? Repent. Change your life. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have a better life. We have the things of God, a way that God has established for us to live. Jesus, the very same thing as he began his public ministry. Repent. That's what he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's just, some people say, well, just believing is enough. And if God has expectation for a lifestyle, then just believing is just a start. That's where it begins, is believing and then understanding why God has expectations of a lifestyle. And so we look here in the Scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's start in verse 11. The Bible says, O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. When you read this passage of Scripture, this chapter 6, don't lose sight of that. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto my children, be also enlarged, have an enlarged heart. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, understanding that, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, thank you for allowing us this window to be able to have church and allowing those to get here safely. And I just pray, God, that as we've already received much from being here tonight, we thank you for that. But I pray now that as we study this, the passage of Scripture and preach and teach on this subject, I pray that you would help us, give us more insight into why separation and standards. Help us to be able to understand it so that we might help others to understand it likewise. Now meet with us and bless in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Even in our articles of faith, and every member of Lighthouse Baptist Church, when you become a member, we go over, we give you articles of faith as you come to visit the church. And then in order to be a member, you have to be in agreement with the articles of faith. Especially if you're going to run for offices, in just a few weeks we're going to have our election of officers. And one of the things we ask every officer, because you're representing the church in a position that you have chosen and agreed to serve in, are you in 100% agreement with the articles of faith? And they have to answer positive and confirm that in order to be an officer of the church as well. But in the articles of faith, and there's 14 different statements here, but two address what we're preaching on tonight. Statement number 9 in articles of faith says this: all believers are baptized into the true body by the Holy Spirit and are set apart to a holy walk. Every believer needs to understand that when you're saved, you have been sanctified, or set apart, or set aside for God's purpose, and that is to live for Him. Be holy as I am holy, the Lord says. And so a holy walk. Let's not lose sight of this idea of holiness based on what the Word of God says. And then the last of the articles of faith, the 14, it says this: as children of the Lord, we should endeavor, this is what we ought to be trying to accomplish, endeavor by God's grace to live a consistent Christian life and refrain from worldliness and conduct ourselves in such a way as not to be a stumbling block, not to be a stumbling block or a hindrance to someone else wanting to serve the Lord and accomplish things that God would have them to accomplish. And so our testimony basically is what we're saying. You have to be aware, and you have to have a desire to have a testimony that represents Christ. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to have to understand there's going to have to be some things that I'm going to have to separate myself from in this world. And as I concentrate on that, I should not be as concerned about separating from as much as I am as separating to. The more you draw closer to Christ, the more you'll turn away from the things of the world. And the Spirit of God will lead you in order to do that. Separation is a doctrine. It is a Bible doctrine that many, especially even in the day and age we're living in today, and which should be presented even more so, it is being ignored today by even some Baptist churches. And that's where you have the liberal Baptist from the fundamental Baptist, the Bible Baptist, those who believe in the Bible, to some other. And so even in the Baptist ranks, there's some that are ignoring this idea and they just don't want to address it. They don't want to preach on it. They just soon just let everyone make their own decisions. And that is not, everyone will decide for themselves, but it is the church that is here to preach and to teach the Word of God. As independent fundamental Baptists, we have decided not to turn away from it, but to continue as in the past to preach the Word of God. Every bit of the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Bible. And if you're preaching the whole counsel of the Bible, you cannot ignore what God says about separation and standards by which He would want His children to live by. Now, your degree of separation might vary from somebody else's degree of separation, but we cannot disagree on the fact that there is a doctrine of separation. And the doctrine of separation leads to and comes from the idea of holiness. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Some believe that separation and standards are just to restrict us and keep us from, a lot of teenagers, keep me from just having fun. Which is the farthest thing from the truth. In reality, biblical separation allows us to walk closer to God and experience His joy and divine nature. That's what He said. You come to me, you're going to be my sons and daughters. You're going to experience a family of God. You're going to experience my blessings and joy and the happiness that we even preached on this morning. It's all connected to that. And so this idea of separation is something that was designed by God to help. Paul had it. And he desired for the Corinthian believers to have it. And that's where in verse 11 he says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. I'm going to be telling you this, I'm trying to help you with this, because we have a love for you and our heart is enlarged for you. And we want you to have this very same understanding. Then verse 13 he says, Now for a recompense in the same I speak unto as unto my children, be also enlarged. We want you to enjoy what we are enjoying in a close walk with God. So God's purpose for a holy walk is somewhat twofold. First is so that we would glorify Him and be His witnesses. Glorify Him and represent Christ as Christians. Can't do that unless you walk in the very same footsteps, if you will, the very same direction that Christ walked. He set an example for us. He set an example for Christianity so that we would glorify Him and be His witnesses. The second thing is to protect us. You say protect us by putting restrictions on us? It's not designed to restrict. Illustration that might help you, and I don't really think that the government ought to be able to force you to put a seatbelt on, and I don't think the government ought to be able to force us to put a helmet on, but were seatbelts designed to restrict or to protect? Now, they might restrict, but that's not what they were designed to do. They were designed to protect, and it's evident. They have enough studies and to know that they do. They save lives. Helmets. We're not really designed to restrict. Somebody didn't think, well, how can I restrict somebody that wants to ride a motorcycle? I'm just going to design something that's going to restrict them. That's not what it was all about. If somebody said, you know, they're out there in the open. If they have a small, just a little accident, they could hit their head and they could be killed in just a minor accident. And so what can we do? What can we design for those that are going to be out there and are going to ride motorcycles? What can we design for them? And so they went in and they designed something to protect your head. So if you fell over, had an accident, you would not perish because of that. The helmet would just get a scratch on it. I'm here today because I wore a helmet. But I would not have worn the helmet if I was not forced to wear the helmet. It was law. And so I'm thankful that they established a law, and it was not to restrict. The meaning and the purpose for the law was to protect. And I'm here tonight because my helmet got all gashed. If it wasn't my helmet, it would have been my head. So separation is designed by God to protect us from evil. And that verse 17, that's why he says, and there it is, wherefore, come out from among you, them. And how can you deny separation, preaching on set, when he says, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The obvious contrast that he gives us right here in verse 14 to 17 is there is no righteousness in unrighteousness. There's no righteousness. If it's unrighteous, it's unrighteous. There's no righteousness in unrighteousness. There's no light in darkness. None. There's no attachment between Christ and Satan. None. You can't straddle the fence. You can't serve two masters. You can't do it. There's no attachment between Christ and Satan. There's no faith in an unbeliever. And there's no agreement between the true God and a false idol of God. That's what he says. All these things. And he said, these things, these are obvious. These are contrasts and separation. And so it's obvious the things that we need to separate ourselves from. What he's telling us is, as a born-again believer, you're different. The saved see God for who he is. The lost do not know him. That makes a world of difference in how we live our lives. Verse 16, the Bible says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. A lost man, he does not dwell in, he does not walk with them. The Bible said, but the saved, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God dwells within the saved. They have a new nature. Makes them a new creature. Makes all things pass and things becoming new. You're different. So one of the first things you have to realize, are you saved or not? If you are saved, you're different. If you are saved, God has a preference. He has an expectation of our lifestyle. He has an expectation of how he would have us to live our lives. And based on that comes God's blessings or God's judgments upon his children. Often I talk to people, and just the other day I was talking to somebody about how it was a blessing to see how that since they've been coming to the church and got saved, they've been changing. And they mentioned that to me. He said, you know, the closer we get to God, the farther we want to stay away from the things we were involved in before we come to church. Amen. What a blessing when that happens. God's love for us is seen in his desire for us to be holy. It's God's love for us, knowing that how that's going to help us and protect us and bring about his blessings upon our life. So the obvious command is be a separate. So separation, there's three types of separation. Three types of separation. First of all, there is the moral separation. If you study the scriptures, you'll find that there's a moral separation. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians, and if you were here in Sunday school this morning, you was able to be taught some of this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a moral separation, basically he tells us the body is holy.